Hey guys, if you are a father who would like to have a deeper relationship with your son, if you have a son that you're trying to pour into and develop, if you want to help your son see the greatness that you know he has in his life, I've got a very special event coming up June 23rd through 27th. We are going to be in Cleveland National Forest. My father's coming with me, the man who you hear me talk about all the time, who helped me become who I've become in life. We're going to be doing a father-son rite of passage event, map and compass, land navigation. I'll be teaching you how to use map and compass in the exact same place that I learned in Navy SEAL training. This is going to be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You'll have these memories for the rest of your life. If you want to find out more, you can click the link in the description below. We've only got 16 spots available, and we've already sold a few of those. You can find out more at theimpossible.life/legacynavigators. Right? Are your perspectives making you feel sorry for yourself? Are your perspectives pushing your friends away? Are your perspectives closing doors in your life? Maybe you should think about your experiences, your beliefs, your emotions, the knowledge you have. Maybe you should think about them a little bit differently and learn how to leverage perspective.
That's impossible.
Let me tell you what I believe.
But your weakness is not your technique.
Yes! Yes!
Don't think you are. Know you are.
The Impossible Life Podcast.
I mean, you're sitting on a winning lottery ticket.
An idea that is fully formed, fully understood, that sticks.
This is the Impossible Life Podcast, because Nick and I are attempting to live impossible lives. What we know is that nothing is impossible. So instead of using impossible as an excuse to not try, we'll use the pursuit of impossible as an accelerant for greatness. If something's never been done before, that just means it's unexplored. If they tell you it's too hard, it's just waiting to be simplified. Impossible is a default label used by uncourageous people unwilling to take a risk. The real truth is this. The solution to any impossible task starts with this question. If I had to, what would it take?
Welcome to another episode of the Impossible Life Podcast. I'm your co-host, Nick Surface, and I'm looking across at a man who recently got knocked out in the 8th round of a shadow boxing competition. That's right, friends, the former Navy SEAL. Garrett Unkelbach, a man who has only ever lost battles to himself.
It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous because if you get knocked out, for those of you that don't know what shadow boxing is, you're boxing your own shadow. So this amused me greatly because I realized something when we were recently out in California for the Legacy Navigators. Garrett and I took a fun trip out to Cleveland National Forest to go out there and find some of the actual...
I think it was fun for me. It might not have been as fun for you.
I had a great time, Garrett, because I have a positive attitude, and even if I try and punk myself, I am now able to overcome that.
Nick absolutely punked himself. I haven't put this on social media yet, but maybe...
What do you mean, yet? This is not worthy of social media.
But maybe I will. When we were on... we recently took a trip. You guys have probably heard us promoting the upcoming trip we've got.
Well, hold on.
June 23rd through 27th for Legacy Navigators. But we were doing a recce, also known as reconnaissance, trip for the event.
This is my story that you've now completely hijacked for the record. But yeah, carry on.
I was preparing. The reason we were going out there was to prepare for the upcoming trip to get the course and points and everything like that together. And I know you guys are probably like laughing internally, thinking like, why would you bring Nick with you in preparation for a map and compass trip? And that's a great point. He was really just there to like hold the camera.
But dude, okay.
Before we...
Who's the one who actually found the points that the SEALs use? It wasn't you. It was me. Okay.
Okay. If Nick wants to really get into it, he doesn't want me to... He doesn't want me to attack what he just said. I'm just going to finish the story. He's trying to divert me.
Almost worked.
So we go on this trip, and we're going up to Mount Laguna. If you don't know where that is, it's like an hour east of San Diego up into the mountains. And I told him before we went on the trip, I said, it's going to be in the high 30s.
Yeah.
It's going to be very windy. Like, this area never rains, but we got like the one time that it does rain. It's going to be in the high 30s. It's going to be like 20 mile per hour wind and raining.
Yeah.
So bring the appropriate clothing. I didn't know that he needed me to pack for him I have taken him on trips with this type of weather before. So Saturday night, we're in the hotel getting ready to, like, we're leaving first thing Sunday morning to drive up there to the mountains. Saturday night, I go, so what are you wearing tomorrow? And he lit, the first thing out of his mouth is, "I brought my mountain bike shorts."
Yeah,
I was ready. And I just burst out laughing.
Yeah.
I was like, "Nick, do you understand where we're going tomorrow?"
Well, dude, I also brought Hokas, so I was totally ready. I brought my running shoes.
We literally got out there, and so he wasn't wearing his mountain bike shorts. He was wearing like some Levi pants.
For Hokas. Contrast, let me help you. Because like, I, honestly, this is one of those times where you won't hear me fight back because I was berating myself mentally way worse than anything Garrett said to me. So for contrast, Garrett is wearing military pants, like camouflage pants. He's wearing his Cooey jacket.
They're breathable Gore-Tex pants.
There you go. Breathable Gore-Tex pants. His waterproof Cooey jacket. He's got like... His
multiple layers of warmth.
He brought gloves, a hat. He's got water resistant.
Which I didn't use my gloves or my beanie because I gave them to Nick because he was going to turn into a popsicle.
Oh, okay, first of all, you're making it. I will say I did not complain once, nor did I. I was just like, look, this is going to suck and I deserve it. That was my attitude because I was like, I couldn't believe how stupid I was. But
I didn't want to have to carry you out of the forest, so I gave you some warmth.
I would have been fine. It just would have been even more miserable. But the point being, Garrett's dressed like, you know, army man, ready to go after it. And I have all the gear that would have been perfect for it. And in my head, somehow I heard that we were riding mountain bikes.
I was honestly just disappointed in myself because I thought after 3 years together, dude, I thought I'd brought you further than that.
No, this
and
was,
then we went straight back to like Puma pants, California.
I ended up wearing jeans, which got thrashed with mud, took multiple washings to clean them. Shout out to my wife. And those Hokas are in my garage still drying out because we were just walking in swampland and my feet would just get doused with a fresh dose of cold water every time we get off the bikes, which was, you know, well, like I said, I deserved it. I was thoroughly unprepared. Somehow in my mind, I defaulted to every time I've ridden mountain bikes in California, which is a lot. And so I came prepared for a mountain bike trip when I should have been prepared to be hiking through the forest in wet conditions while we were searching around for Navy SEAL dog tags that young sluggers out there will get to do themselves.
If you want to see, I probably won't post it on social media or at least on our public page, but join our insiders channel on the Impossible Life podcast. I'll probably put it in there. So
okay, well, yeah, there you go. That's on Instagram. Yeah, point is, I basically wanted to give myself a rite of passage event, so I decided to make it as hard as possible because me and my dad aren't going to go on Legacy Navigators together. So I was like, you know what? Let's just take California Nick out there and
you
kill
hazed
him.
Yourself.
Yeah, I hazed myself. I killed California Nick.
Well, anyways, I don't know how we got on that tangent.
Yeah, that was all your fault. The point was I was making was about my intro, which is now so far gone. I don't even want to make the point about how I came up with my intro because who cares? Everybody got to hear a fun story of me just being an absolute
punking yourself.
Yeah, yahoo. Okay, well, today's episode is, after all that, is actually about perspective, which is one of our favorite things to talk about. It's actually one of the tools that we go way deeper than what we're going to go in here on Mindset Mastery. And fortunately, we got a guy who considers it his superpower, and it's not me, it's Garrett, and he's used it to pass the most difficult military training in the world. So, Garrett?
Perspective. So, if you're in Mindset Mastery with us, we've talked about perspective a little bit. We talked about it last year. I think that was either September or October. We were talking about Mindset Mastery.
September.
We were also referencing it again this month, as this month we've been focusing on discipline and Mindset Mastery, and perspective is one of the pillars that hold up your discipline bridge, right? Mm-hmm. Discipline is a bridge. It gets you from your desire where you want to be to actual results. And perspective is one of the key things that helps hold up your discipline. If you want to understand more about how perspective is a part of discipline, you should definitely join us in Mindset Mastery. Say that to say perspective is a powerful tool. It is it's a lot of people think you just have to be, and all respect to David Goggins, but a lot of people think you just have to be like a David Goggins level of grit type person, been through so much pain and trauma to be able to get through things. And there's other ways to do it. Grit and tenacity, pain tolerance, very valuable skill, right? You want to have that. You've got to have at least some of it to get through life, but you don't have to be like just bang your head against concrete until the concrete breaks type of person to get through life. One of the other tools that you have is perspective, and perspective is it's truly just the way you look at things. This is like Epictetus. This is like Marcus Aurelius. It is not the pain itself that disturbs you. It's not the thing that disturbs you. It's the view you take of it. He's saying you can look at the pain differently. And so perspective, just, you know, kind of long story short, perspective going through SEAL training, going through Hell Week for me, I was able in some of the most difficult moments of my life where, you know, it's a very difficult training. I get reminded of this often with, you know, guys that I mentor, guys that are tadpoles that I have a relationship with. And it's unfortunate how many of these guys don't make it through training. I get reminded of this often. Mm-hmm. And I reflect back on that with such great gratitude of, you know, how God brought me through all of that. One of the things that God gave me to get through that training is perspective and how does that work? And the most difficult, some of the most difficult moments, you're in extreme pain. You normally you would want to quit. You're running out of willpower. You're running out of pain tolerance. What perspective allows you to do, right? You've heard me say this. Nick likes to quote this one. If you zoom in on pain, it gets worse.
Yeah.
If you zoom out on pain, right? The perspective is the view you take of something. If you zoom out on pain, you see purpose, right? Think of perspective like if you ever took art class in high school, right? Your teacher puts the fruit bowl out there of apples and bananas right. and whatever else. And I draw it from my side of the table and Nick draws it from his side of the table and our drawings are different. We were drawing the same thing,
yeah,
but it's a different view of them, right? That's what perspective is. You can take the same object and you can see it differently, right? And that's not just from like a 360 perspective, from a different dimension. You can zoom in and zoom out. And so if you zoom in on situations, if you zoom in on pain, oftentimes it gets worse. There are right times to zoom in, but there are also times where you want to zoom out. And in some of your most difficult moments, what you want to do is zoom out, you're not trying to hide from the pain, but you're trying to see why this pain matters.
Yeah.
And in the most difficult moments of SEAL training, I was able to zoom out and look at it and say, this challenging moment, this difficult moment, this isn't about me just getting through a moment. This isn't about me just like proving myself to instructors or proving myself to myself or to my dad or whoever. It's not even about being a Navy SEAL. I could look at that moment and say, this moment is about the rest of my life.
Mm, yeah.
Right. Because this moment leads to me growing and developing here. This growing and developing here leads to me being a Navy SEAL. Being a Navy SEAL is leading to something else.
Yeah.
Right. And I was able to, in a moment, attach some of the most painful stuff that I was going through. If I'd made it about me and just my own desire to get through it, right? This is where like you having the pain tolerance, you start to run out of pain tolerance. Right. It's like, you know what? Maybe I don't want to do this anymore. But perspective allowed me to look at this situation and say, my entire destiny hinges on this moment. And I'll just, there's a video, I won't tell the long story. We just posted a video on our YouTube recently of a talk that I did at a conference talking about perspective yeah. as a superpower. So go check out our YouTube channel if you've never looked at our...
I'll link to it in the show notes, yeah.
So I tell this longer story. I won't tell the long story because it's a long story, but I tell this longer story of going through Hell Week and how perspective really, it not just is my superpower, but it allowed me to get through some of the most challenging yeah. moments in my life. So perspective is certainly something that you want to understand, that you want to be able to leverage in your life.
Yeah, I love that, G. Now, why are we making the point about perspective? I feel like this whole, like, perspective is one of those things that it's like, oh, yeah, of course, whatever. We all know about perspective. But this is like mining gold in broad daylight. Like, I really want you to understand how valuable this can be.
You might, if you don't fully understand perspective.
Keep listening.
Yeah, exactly. You might hear perspective and think like an opinion.
Right.
It's different than opinions.
Very much so. Yeah, we're going to get into that. So the reason I'm saying all that is, like, are you the type of person that wants to be like a lottery winner or a treasure hunter? Or are you the type of person that's going to see the patterns that are in front of you and actually take action on the things you know? Because this perspective is really an opportunity for you to do that. So a little bit of fun to demonstrate that point. Gee, what do you think the odds are of winning Mega Millions or Powerball? Because you like math.
Oh, odds of winning those things? I know it's like 1 in 100 million or 1 in 300 million. It's stupid odds like
okay.
that.
Okay, Garrett did not look, but he got it right. It's 1 in 300 million. So great job, G. I honestly don't know what goes on in your brain. If you get this next one right, I might just end the podcast and we'll call it a day. How many...
Is that a promise?
Okay. That was unnecessary. Okay, I'll get back to it. How many millionaires do you think we had in the new millionaires, like first-time millionaires in the U.S. last year in 2023?
2023 new millionaires.
Yes. I like doing this because you get to see, like, Garrett really, he doesn't answer these things haphazardly. He's really thinking about this.
50,000.
Wow. Dude, you must, okay, I like that you, okay, good news for everybody. The podcast will continue because Garrett got it wrong. 2,200.
Okay.
Now, so like there's 360 million people, including women, you know, women, children, men, like, you know, children aren't going to typically be in the millionaires category, but still think about that. You've got a 1 in 300 million chance mm-hmm. of winning the lottery or 2,200 people that you could look at for the first time last year and go, wonder what they did. Who do I have to become to get what they had? Interesting. The reason I say all that, perspective is one of these tools that I promise you, if you use it, think about it. You've got a guy on here who's used it to go through one of the most difficult military trainings in the world with an 80% quit rate. 80% of people quit, right? Or you can listen to How to Mine Gold. For the record, the 1 in 300 million odds, go ahead and flip a coin and try and get heads 28 times in a row.
Right.
Because that's the same odds of you winning the Powerball. So for those of you that might have a lot of time on your hands, let us know how it goes. Because I'd be curious.
Text us how many you get in a row.
Yeah.
Because it won't be 28.
Because it won't be 28. And if it does, go buy a Powerball ticket. Anyways, that's your best advice you're going to get today. Moving on. Okay, so G touched on this a little bit at the beginning. You said like perspective is a point of view. It really is like what you see. And we could all get that from like a physical realm, like you talked about with the fruit bowl. But we're talking about like in your mind. We're not talking about like what you see with your eyes. We're talking about in your mind. So you have to understand your perspective is going to be influenced by we're not going to go through the full exhaustive list, but these four things really, I think, cover, I'm going to say, 99% of it. So you're influenced by your experience, your beliefs, mm-hmm. your emotions, and your knowledge, right? Like, I'll dive in on them.
And it's all of those things, right?
We'll
get into it. But you can be strong in one of those areas, and one of those other areas is going to try to work against you. Just think like emotions, for example, right? You experience some strong emotions, and that can twist your attitude, which twists what you focus on, which twists what you feel, which twists the decisions that you make if you allow it to.
Yeah, correct. I mean,
this is one of those things, like if you don't understand how it works, right? Like if you don't know how a car works, you're like driving that thing on hope.
Right.
Right. But when you understand how a car works, it'll change some of the inputs you give to the car. We drive cars today that are, you know, so electronic and automated. But think like, you know, if you're driving like a race vehicle or other performance vehicles that you really need to have a great understanding of the car, when you do, you'll drive it differently. And perspective, when you understand the pieces that build it, what influences it, it'll allow you to, you'll have a different opinion of your emotions,
yeah.
right? Just like a professional race car driver, these guys don't just like sit in a cockpit.
Right.
They understand the physics of how rubber works. And it influences the way that they use the car because they need to know rubber's their contact to the track, right? So these guys understand all about rubber. They know the mechanics and the physics of how fuel works, right? They know that, like, down to the chemistry of it, right? So again, when you understand these pieces of what shapes and influences perspective, it'll allow you to use your perspective differently.
Yeah. I mean, the emotions one is great because we've all had something where we got triggered and we saw red. Like, what's your perspective? Think about it. Well, except for Garrett, who's never been angry in his life because he's Mr. Equanimity. True. But like, imagine, like, you know, we've all had that. And what's your perspective? Like, what are you seeing in the moment? And what's your memory of those, of whatever unfolds after that going to be? Like, if you're the guy that is, you know, 98%, I see red and I start dropping bodies, like, that's your fight plan. That's a reference to a funny graph that Garrett sent me, that 2% of the population actually knows how to fight, and the other 98%, their strategy is, I'll see red, bodies will start dropping, bro. So he got
a lot of men's lack of preparation, and they think that they're having watched enough Jackie Chan movies and their ability to trigger their rage is going to save them.
And so that was a joke, but we've all had that angry moment where it affects what you see. Even from a physiological standpoint, they talk about how you get tunnel vision for a lot of people that are in high stress situations with firearms. And so, you know, fog of war, whatever you call it, like mm-hmm. kicks in, and they've studied that. But like, let's think about how your experiences come into play. All the time, we are seeing things through the lens of something that we've experienced, and we're not even aware of it. So, like, for example, great, great one that's very relevant to America. America is a massive country. It feels like different countries depending on where you go. So if you go to some places like California, or we were up in Illinois, and a lot of the thought is like, oh, Christianity's on the decline. Like, people don't really fear God anymore. They're not seeking God at all. And there's this perspective that it's like, man, you know, like, yeah, people just don't, like, they're falling away from God. Like, it's going downhill. Whereas contrast that with, we're down in the Bible Belt here in Texas. I'm like,
right.
When I moved out here from California, I could not believe. I was like, man, everyone here believes in God. It was like night and day.
I have a friend who lives up in Washington who will, like, text me political questions because, like, he's like, man, all I hear and see up here is a very different view than what you guys get down there in Texas. So he's like, what's it really like? What are people saying to this?
Right. Yeah. Well, and exactly the point. What is that? That's just, it's not an opinion. That is, they are literally, because they're being informed by their experiences, they are seeing things in a completely different way.
Let me give you I'll give you a nickel of credit here.
First time ever. A nickel. Well, better than a penny. I'll take it.
Better than nothing.
There's a perspective. It could have been worse.
Better than nothing, right? That's perspective. Nickel of credit. So we were recently in California. I was just, you know, telling on your level of dumb.
Okay. Let's just move on from that.
But you dealt with it fine, right? I know you were soaking wet and cold, but you dealt with it, right? And why were you able to deal with that?
Because I've been in way worse situations. Honestly, I've been way colder. Like I said, when Garrett said, he's like, well.
I was half laughing, half mad at you for being dumb, but yeah. I also knew, I was like, well, he'll be all right.
Yeah.
And if you were someone that I knew couldn't deal with that situation, I would have essentially packed your bag for you, right? Like, make sure, like, do you have this? Do you have this? Do you have this? Because if I bring you out here and you don't have the right gear, you're going to fall apart.
Right. Which I had the wrong gear and I did not fall apart. So, yeah, really, belief for me. Gave myself a big win there. But to your point.
That's the power of perspective.
Exactly. And the perspective shift was, like you said to me, you're like, man, because, I mean, the wind was whipping through and it was raining sideways and we're riding e-bikes at like 20 miles an hour. So we're just getting blasted.
My hands were numb.
Yeah.
For like until like 11 o'clock in the morning.
There you go. Well, yeah. And Garrett was shivering. I mean, it was legit cold. And I was literally wet everywhere except for I brought my waterproof jacket. That was like the one thing I got right. So I was warm up top and cold literally everywhere else. And all I could think to myself is I was like, well, been a lot colder in my ice bath, and this isn't even the coldest experience that we've had because when we climbed Mount Massive, it was way colder and way windier.
And we're having fun.
Yeah.
And you know what? If we're really frozen, we just go back and get in the truck.
Right. Well, I was never going to pull that because I would never hear the end of it, and it never even crossed my mind for the record. Okay. So we talked about emotions. We talked about experiences. Gee, belief. Like, you had this belief that you knew that
well, what are beliefs, right?
Right.
Beliefs are the things that we know are true but can't prove. Belief, one of the beliefs that I have, I mention it all the time, right? It's the infinite potential unlock. And if you go watch our YouTube video, you'll hear me talk about this again, right? It informs my perspective. But one of my beliefs is that God has a plan for my life.
Right.
And then also that I can do anything that I want and get it or get anything that I want as long as I'm willing to pay the price for it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I can't scientifically prove that to you. You could give me counter evidence. I can give you positive evidence.
Right.
And belief is where I choose to stand based upon the evidence that I have. Mm-hmm. Right. Like I know who God is. I've had very real experiences with God. Mm-hmm. I could give you evidence from my life. I could demonstrate to you evidence in other people's lives. And that's witnessing and testimony, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you evidence. I can't scientifically prove it to you, but I know it's true. And I want to help you understand that it's true. Belief is where you choose to stand based upon the evidence that it's a view you take based mm-hmm. upon evidence in your life. When you have a negative attitude, when you have, literally when you're just looking down at the ground, you're going to stand on the wrong side of things. You're going to get hit in the head with stuff that you shouldn't get hit in the head with, right? When you're looking up, you're going to see a different view of things. Beliefs inform your perspective massively. What I went through SEAL training on, essentially, like if I could give somebody two things to go through SEAL training, God has a plan for your life. You can have anything you want as long as you're willing to pay the price for it. If I got 30 seconds with somebody, I'm going to give that to them before mm-hmm. they go into SEAL training, right? That was so strong in me. It takes more than 30 seconds to give that to somebody for it to be really cemented for
yeah.
you. But that was so strong in me from everything my parents had gave me from experiences that I'd been through in my life that I was able to stand on that in my most difficult moments. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like, I had past experiences going into SEAL training of like, I would put myself in the cold water, right? And we've talked about that before where I would sit in my parents' pool in December. You know, I was getting ready to leave in June. I sat in my parents' pool in December when the water's 40 degrees and I'd sit in there for like 45 minutes
yeah.
until I was about to like literally pass out from hypothermia. My body temp was probably 91 or 92 degrees. I was blue and I would get out of the pool numb and somehow get my shoes on and run for like 20 or 30 minutes until like I've felt like I had a pulse again
yeah.
and then I'd get back in the pool and do it over again. Right. And because I had done that, that prepared me, you know, the water in San Diego is only low 50s.
Right.
So low 50s isn't so bad compared to low 40s. So I had experiences that prepared me for SEAL training, but I also had beliefs that prepared yeah. me for SEAL training.
Yeah. And I mean, you have a quote on perspective. Pain with purpose. Sorry. Pain with no purpose is punishment.
Yeah.
Pain with purpose is discipline. That's a belief perspective right there. And so the reason we're saying that, and the other one would be knowledge, and I'll just give a very quick one for knowledge because I want to make sure we keep moving. Like when you see a magician do something that defies physics, you don't go like, oh, well, that guy has magic superpowers. You go, he's figured out some way to manipulate the way I'm appearing. Like you don't sit there and go, he's really, you know, superhuman.
Well,
because you have knowledge.
When you understand that. But to kids love magic because
right.
that's what they perceive it to be. How exactly. is that possible?
Right. But the point we're making, so you, your perspectives, the things that you take for granted all the time in the way that you view things in the world, like the perspectives you take, have been informed by your experiences, your beliefs, your emotions, and your knowledge. And it's happening all the time. And this is where it's like sometimes you have to stop and go like, hang on a minute. Like ultimately, these perspectives are telling you a story. And so you need to ask yourself this question. Is this perspective, is this story that I'm telling myself, is it limiting me or is it empowering me?
The story you tell, the story that you hear about your life, it's either setting you up for success or yes. preparing you for failure. Just like we talked about how perspective, you know, it's different pictures of the fruit bowl.
Right.
It's not about drawing different pictures.
Right.
This is about where are you going to go based upon what's happening to you right now. If you have the right perspective, your life can go up based mm-hmm. upon a difficult circumstance.
Yes.
If you have the wrong perspective, difficulty hits you in the face and you fall down and cry.
Yeah.
Right. If you don't want to be someone who falls down and cries from difficult circumstance in your life, learn how to leverage perspective. That's why this is so important.
Yeah, massively. So let me give you a quick thing on limiting and empowering, because how do you know which one? Well, if you have a limiting perspective, this is going to be the knock-on effect. It's going to discourage you, and it's going to drain your energy. And we've all had that sometimes. Like, imagine when you get to the top of this, like when you think you're going on a 5-mile run, and then somebody goes, oh, hey, guess what? We're only a quarter of a mile there. Ugh. What's the first thing you go? You're like, oh, my gosh, 15 more miles? Like, you know, like that, literally that drain feeling, that discouraged feeling, that's a perspective that you're taking. That same feeling is something that you'll feel when you take a perspective that's limiting you. Contrast that with an empowering one. It's going to encourage you and it's going to energize you. Like very, very simple. And we could go through a bunch of examples, but I don't think we need to do that. We all know what that feels like. So I just want to highlight those for you. Ask yourself that question next time that you kind of just have a narrative in your head. You're like,
well, it's what Pastor Keith says. The way he looks at it, he calls it the effectiveness question.
Right.
How's that working for you?
Yeah.
Are your perspectives on life, right? And go listen to the talk on YouTube, because I put this back on people hard. What are your perspectives doing for you?
Yeah.
Are they helping you? My perspectives help me get through SEAL training. So maybe they're good perspectives to have.
Right.
Right. Are your perspectives making you feel sorry for yourself? Are your perspectives yes. pushing your friends away? Are your perspectives closing doors in your life? Maybe you should think about your experiences, your beliefs, your emotions, the knowledge you have. Maybe you should think about them a little bit differently and learn how to leverage perspective. When I get to coach a lot of people, but I also get to just hear from a lot of people in life. And so often I hear people giving me their problems and I go, your perspective sucks. Hmm. Right. If you had a better perspective, you would navigate this so differently.
Isn't that fascinating? Because for the person expressing that to you, it's so real to them. They're like, no, but you don't understand. That's how they'll feel. You don't understand. This, and this are happening. And like because of that X.
What do we say in the intro to this podcast?
If I had
to. The answer to every impossible question starts with the mindset of, if I had to, what would it take?
Yeah.
Right? That is that's saying, what perspective do I need to have to turn impossible mm-hmm. into possible? Right? You'll look at, just like you made the example of a magic trick. I think of the difference of being on the ground versus looking at satellite video, right? Because I've had so many experiences of that and trying to navigate both at the same time. And sometimes on the ground, you're looking, it's like, man, there's no way around this. There's no way we could do this. So there's no way that we could overcome this obstacle. And then you look at it from the satellite, you look down onto the problem and you're like, oh man, if we just like go around this rock, there's an easy path right to where we want to go.
Yeah.
Right. So when you learn how to view things differently, you open doors that you could have never opened from the perspective that you're sitting in. If you feel stuck in life, if you feel like things are impossible, if you feel like everything is working against you, you are burdened by limiting belief.
Very good, G. So, and if you don't believe us, let me ask you something like this. What is one thing that you really held such a strong point of view on as a kid that now as you're an adult, you look back and you feel completely different? We all have these things. That's called growing up. And as you grow up and you mature, you change your perspectives. Well, what if you didn't have to wait 15 plus years or however long it took you to grow up, 20, 30, 40 years in some people's cases, to grow up and change your perspective? That's what we're saying to you. The same way that you felt differently about certain things as a kid that you do as an adult, you can proactively use your power of perspective, like Garrett said, to enable yourself and to just take a completely different view on it. Now, how to use it? That would be obvious. Well, how do I do it? Good thing you're here. We're going to tell you how to use it. The very first thing to note, your perspective is not like a beat down weapon for other people. It's a tool to be used on your controls.
Except for me with Nick.
Okay, that's debatable. No, actually, you know what? No, it's not debatable. You're wrong. Anyways, I'm like, how am I leaving the door open for this, man? Maybe I need some perspective work. Anyways, yeah, you want to use it on your controllables, on your own meaning, on your own events.
Let me ask you something before we get into this. I'm going to put you on the spot.
All right.
What's one of your biggest perspective shifts since you came to Texas?
Man, since I came to Texas? Jeez, you really are putting me on the spot. You know, I think, man, I wish I had a great answer for you. I'm like blanking. As far as, I mean, most of my perspective shifts, I don't think have as much to do with Texas as they do from hanging around with you. And I would say that one of my perspectives.
Well, either way, I'm just saying since you've been here.
Is that pushing yourself past the point of pain is a very, very healthy thing that every man should be doing to himself mm-hmm. regularly. That's a perspective that I feel very strongly about because of just my perspective on pain has changed so much. So I'll just...
Yeah, because once you get past pain, what it does, right? This was my perspective of looking at SEAL training. This was my perspective of quitting, mm-hmm. right? Again, I was taking every perspective I could take and leveraging it to help me get through training. This was my perspective on quitting. I said, if I quit now, what else will I quit on?
Yeah.
But if I can make it through SEAL training, right? What so many people say is so hard. All these people told me, you know, you have such a small chance or you have no chance or that a lot, right? If I could do this, what else can I do?
Yeah.
Right. And that you're saying that's the perspective you're taking on pain, right? If I learn to see pain as a growth opportunity, when I can deal with this pain, that means, right? If anything is, if it's not as hard as SEAL training, I know I can do it.
Right.
Right. So when you do hard things, you raise the bar on what is normally acceptable for you. Just look at it. Like if I bench 200 pounds, anything less than 200 pounds, I know I can bench that. It's not a question.
Right.
Right. But if you've never bench pressed before, you're going to look at anything and be like, man, I don't know if I can do that.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's the perspective.
You know, perspective actually, I'm going to answer this question and I'll try and be quick. And the NRA is going to love this answer. my view on my perspective on weapons and on guns has changed dramatically since I came to Texas.
That's a typical California to Texas perspective shift, but give us your take.
Yeah, well, I used to live in the UK as well, where guns are illegal, right? And I spent 9 years of my life. So I was very much, and I had this conversation with one of my dear friends who lives in the UK recently, and he's like, only the government and military people need it. Like, there's no reason for anyone else to have it. And I said, that's great.
The Brits would say that.
They would. And I said, that's great until the government turns against its people, and then what? And so we went back and forth, and eventually what I said was, I was like, anything is possible. If you look at what happened in Australia during COVID times, their government was using force to put people in internment camps that weren't following COVID protocols. To me, that's why my perspective on weapons is like, they are a very good way to keep things balanced.
The government in check.
Yeah, it's one of our checks and balances.
You'll think twice about it.
That's exactly right. And So that's that. I feel very differently about that. I also own a lot more guns than I ever owned in my life, and shoot them a lot more regularly than I ever did before. So that is my Texas perspective. But anyways, back to it. Okay, so like we said, so you use your perspective on your controllables, right? So the things that you give the events in your life, the things that you're using to give meaning. So I'm just going to give you your perspective can be. Going back, like looking back or looking forward, right? And so if you're looking to change from negative to positive and you're looking back, the question to ask, this is how you give yourself a perspective shift. What good came from it? Okay, I've talked about this in my own life whenever I like would look at some of the scarcity I had in my own upbringing and viewed it as this completely negative thing. And I was like, well, what good came from it? And I was like, well, I actually developed a great work ethic. I actually learned a lot from people that I was over at their houses because I wasn't at mine at that time. And I was able to draw all these things. And I was like, actually, I don't know who I'd be without that. That was one of the best things for me. And I also then used my adult perspective to realize my parents did the best they could and put me in an environment to succeed. And guess what? They did a great job. Mm-hmm. They were right. They won. So really, really powerful perspective shift looking back. If you're looking forward or if you're in a moment and you're like, whatever it may be going on, what can I be grateful for? Is such a great question that will instantly shift your perspective of what's happening. I had this happen recently at our Mighty Men camping trip where I was getting ready. I was competing in for the athlon, which is a long story to go through, which I'm not going to go into. But basically, Garrett puts a bunch
of
us.
If you check my social media by the time you're hearing this, and this is, you know, early May 2024, so if you're listening to this way later, you can just come back. But I'm posting a video from the camping trip
right.
on my social media here shortly where you'll see some of what Nick's talking about.
Yeah, and so we go out into the woods with 250 guys, and basically we boil it down to only four guys get to compete in the athlon final, and I was one of them this year, which was cool. And what you end up doing is you chop a telephone pole, like an 8-foot telephone pole log in half. You carry the bigger half a mile and a half, and along the mile and a half way, you stop for a swim in the lake.
Nick made it extra hard because he didn't really chop his log very even.
That's unnecessary. It was my second time ever chopping wood, man.
We could tell.
And you say that, but the thing is, everybody like thinks it's funny that I didn't know how to chop wood. Guess who else knew he didn't know how to chop wood? Me. So I knew I was in for a, I won't say the term that you've taught me, that's the military term for a tough workout, but I knew that I was about to go through it, and I was just like, well, check, this is going to suck, and I'm just going to keep going, and I did. But the point is, so you chop this log in half, you carry it a mile and a half, and along the way you get to swim across a lake, which, by the way, the log gets about 5 to 10 pounds heavier.
Definitely,
you're carrying it on your shoulder the whole time while you're running, and you also stop for two shots with a BB gun into some targets. Now, just to qualify for that, Garrett put us through numerous sprint events, like over the how many times you can go over a 6-foot wall and do a burpee.
We started with 60, cut that to 30, started with 30, cut that to 15, and then I tried to cut the 15 to 10, I cut it to 8.
Right.
Because there were ties, and then I cut the 8 to the final 4.
Right, exactly. So, and he did that with very Garrett-esque ways of doing things. We put 150-pound sandbags over walls with 20 while we were wearing weighted vests and all sorts of fun stuff.
I would tell you, this is a SEAL training perspective, but there's nothing greater than testing men who are willing to pay any price.
Right.
And that's why SEAL training is special to me, because so many people prepare so hard to be there, and the ones who do make it, because I mean, they prove this, the ones who do make it are willing to do whatever it takes, anything to make it through that training program. So you get to push people in a way in that program that you can't push very many people. Most people don't have the desire for it or don't have the ability for it.
Right. Which is, I love that, man.
It's not, I wouldn't say guys feel that way about the athlon,
no.
But guys do care a lot about
we
it.
We do. It's
so
special to
there's
us.
There's a lot of desire,
right.
And there's a lot of ability,
yeah.
Which is a great formula.
Yeah. It's special to us. The people that I compete against, one's built like a middle linebacker and he's like a freak athlete. And the other two are Ninja Warriors.
There's no, so. There's no prize money, but there is a special,
right.
A special trophy that you get to keep, like the Stanley Cup. You get to keep right. It for a year and then give it to the next guy.
Which, yeah, it's very cool thing that we do in our culture. So the reason we're telling this whole story is because I remember we were getting ready to chop down from the 15 down to what we thought was the 10, but ended up being 8. And so what Garrett had done is we'd already done stuff the day before. And then we got to start off with a quarter mile sprint and then go straight into, you have to see how many over the walls and burpee you can do in 60 seconds. So you hop over the 6-foot wall, you hit a burpee, you get up, you hop over it again. It's not that hard to do it once, but when you're on a 60-second sprint, you are blowing hard. And I was like next up, and I'd watched five guys go before me, or four guys go. The fifth guy was going, and I was the sixth guy getting ready to go. And I remember I was sitting there, and I was starting to, I could feel the pressure like coming on me, and I was kind of like getting locked in. I'm like, okay, I'm about to get this. And I just remembered, I was like, you know what, man? You don't get to feel this feeling very often anymore at my age where you're like, man, this matters. Like, this is like, I'm about to go perform. And I remember I just had this moment
with a couple hundred guys watching.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone's gathered around. Everyone's cheering each other on. We have an incredible atmosphere out there. It's truly special to experience. And I remember I just stopped because I was like looking at the wall and I was like getting ultimate tunnel vision, like getting locked in. I was like, no, hold on. Like, just stop. And I looked around. I can still see it in my head and it just makes me smile. I could see all the guys just around there cheering the guy on in front of me. And I just thought, man, thank you, God. What a privilege it is to actually be out here, to be healthy enough to be able to do that. Like, so what was my perspective shift? What can I be grateful for? And so what I said is, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to let it fly. And I can't control what other people do, but I can control what I do. But man, what a great experience. And how grateful am I just to be able to get to experience this. Now, as it is, I ended up getting through, which was awesome. But it was just, you know what I mean? Like, you could easily get in that moment. And just, I've done this so many times when I've been competing and I'm so focused on the outcome that like, if people said like, oh, do you remember this? I'd be like, no, I was generating results. Your life will pass you by that way. And what a terrible way to experience life. So just that perspective shift, I looked at pressure and I was like, you know what? This pressure is not like a bad thing. This is a privilege to get to experience this.
We talk about perspective a lot of the time, using perspective, because it's really my first revelation of perspective. We talk about perspective to overcome difficulty.
Right.
Right. And so that's a great place to use perspective. The second place to use perspective is to see the value in a moment.
Right.
Right. Because you can.
So good.
Right. Is what you did there.
Yeah.
And I would tell you the third way to really use perspective is, and this is very much from a kingdom perspective, but the third way to use perspective is to be able to love people well. Right. And because a lot of times you can look at people and you can see the worst in them. Right. As we've heard Pastor Keith say, believe the best in people, even when the worst is on display. Yeah. That is a perspective. It's a chosen perspective. You choose to see people that way. And there is very much a kingdom perspective that you can see the opportunity to minister to somebody, see the opportunity to love somebody based upon experiences, beliefs, emotions, knowledge, right? You can use those things to shift your perspective to be a great Christ follower and be a great Christ example and love someone or demonstrate Christ-like behavior in a circumstance where otherwise you would not want to do those things.
Yeah.
Right. The same way that in a certain circumstance you might want to quit, but I can push myself to do that. Perspective allows that. In an opportunity or in a situation where, like, man, this experience, this what we're doing right now, this sucks. I don't like it. I can see the value in it. Or this person, you know, deserves for me to treat them harshly or something like that. I can use my perspective and shift it to demonstrate Christ-like behavior.
Yeah, and that's where I've adopted your belief to have that same perspective. And I'll say that my number one leadership lesson that I've had in Mighty Men has been loving people the way they need to be loved, based on that belief that you just said. Like, that's what I'm there for as a leader, is to love them the way they need to be loved. Okay, so I talked about how the pressure, a lot of people think pressure is bad and they want to end, they just want it to go away. And I talked about how, because of the perspective I took of being grateful, I said, man, this is a privilege, right? And you said pressure is a privilege. You've said before, and I want you to explain this perspective and where it comes from. So you said that if you went on Good Morning America, because I think there's a commonly held belief, people be like, oh, and this has been forever. You know, it's not like it was back in my day, right? Like, things are going bad. The world's going to hell in a handbasket, right? Like, that's the thing. And that is a commonly held perspective where people generally are just like, well, things are just going to keep getting worse. And they really have that. And you said if you went on Good Morning America and they said you got to share your perspective, that you think you would change people's minds.
Yeah, my perspective, and this is not so much like a view of my life. This is more so a view of the world and a view of America. And that's because I have some different experiences. I have some different beliefs. I have some different knowledge than other people. So I'm seeing the same situation that they see from a very different perspective. And where many people would say, like, this country is going to hell in a handbasket, I would tell people that I think this country is ripe for massive overhaul in a spiritual perspective. Because every week I interact with a lot of them from the position that I am privileged to hold in men's ministry. And a lot of people are reaching out to me all the time. I'm talking to men's leaders in other churches all the time. Like, man, this is how, you know, you got to come with me to Chicago to just see one small little group. But I get to talk to guys like this all the time where men are waking up across this country.
Yes.
And this also comes from my belief that, hey, you know, here's the end of the story. God wins.
Yes.
Right. And I understand what can happen to a man to be radically transformed, to be radically changed when he comes to know Christ. And the greatest catalyst for transformation is transformation, right? You've seen this in Mighty Men.
Yeah.
When one man transforms,
right?
This is if you remember the message that I did in the incubator, right? On the incubator. Our lives are a picture of this. And when the first little bird hatches, the sound of that bird's chirping, it triggers all the others to hatch, right? And what I've seen happen is when one man transforms, it opens the door. It's that last little straw that hits the camel's back that allows men to transform. And I'm seeing transformation, not change, not better Christian behavior, not, you know, staying out of jail, staying married, not that crap. I've seen transformation happening all over this country.
Yeah.
And men are hungry for it. Families need it. And the more that need grows, the more I see men rising up and meeting the challenge. So my perspective is very different. I think there's a lot of seed being sown right now all over this country, and we're going to see some massive change in the type of men being produced. Because, it, you know, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter, you know, who your daddy is. It doesn't matter where you come from. Doesn't even matter, you know, if you're a military guy or anything like that. What I know that God can do inside a man's heart, which will impact everything else within him. We've seen, you know, I won't name any names. You've seen some soft dudes come through Mighty Men and get changed, right? And get transformed. And so you don't have to have a SEAL background to be transformed into a warrior for God. And so I'm seeing warriors pop up all over this country, and that excites me.
Dude, That fires me up, man. I cannot even tell you how much just listening to you. Maybe we should get you on Good Morning America because, like, you just saying that absolutely got me so fired up. And you're exactly right. I was actually talking to Norm, who's one of our favorite people, Big Norm, about this exact thing because he's a guy who's experienced massive transformation. And you're exactly right. This is what we said. Every time someone transforms, it's a picture of possible for somebody else that they needed to see. And then guess what? They start believing. They transform exactly like you said. That's so good, G. Well, guys, I hope that you see the power of perspective. Challenge your own perspectives. Like, think about some of the things that you just, every day that you take a view on things that are telling you a story.
Well, I would say you have empowering perspectives. Right. Share those with people. Yes. That's what I do. I take my empowering perspective and say, hey, you need this.
Very good, yeah.
Right? You don't know about it. You need this. And then look at the limiting perspectives in your life. Right? It's easy to see. What are the areas that you're stuck? What are the areas that you're miserable? What are the areas where people don't want to help you and it's just not working out? And question yourself, do I have a limiting perspective here? And sometimes you won't be able to see it. And we've talked about this before with blind spots, with relationships, having brothers in your life. They're there to help you with those things, right? You need some that can maybe see things that you don't. But when you have good relationships, you can say, hey, man, do I have a limiting perspective in this issue? Am I looking at this situation correctly? Go to someone that you look up to. Go to someone you admire. Someone who has wisdom, someone who has a relationship with God and a knowledge of the Bible. Ask them, do I have a limiting perspective in this situation?
Thank you very much for listening, guys. Remember to share, like, subscribe. If you think that this would be something that someone would enjoy, please send it to them. We appreciate it all. If you want to get in touch, you can follow us on Instagram at The Impossible Life. You'll find us on there. You can also email at impossiblelifepodcast@gmail.com. If you have any questions, if you want to get in touch and find out about Garrett's personal or business coaching, that's the way to do it. Thank you again for listening. Go out there, think better, and live the impossible. See you again soon. Long before ice baths were a thing, Garrett was doing them in the SEAL teams. Now we do them as part of our daily morning routine to make us better. We are very pleased to have partnered with Freedom Plunge. Freedom Plunge is on a mission to bring cold exposure to everyone. They believe that cold plungers should be affordable, easy to use, and represent the customer themselves. Cold plunges shouldn't cost a fortune, and these ones don't. Garrett and I both use our Freedom Cold Plunge every single day. It's customized. You can put whatever you want on them. For us, we have our Impossible Life logos. And here's the best part. Just for listening to this podcast, you can go to freedomplunge.com, use the discount code IMPOSSIBLE, and save $500 off any Freedom Plunge. These things are half the price of the ones that you see on the internet, plus you're going to save an additional $500 with code IMPOSSIBLE. Go to freedomplunge.com and get yourself one now. You will not regret it.